If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Love Island recap. As always, I'm your host, Kirsten McInnes. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
I am good, excited. We have only one episode of Love Island to talk about this time, but two great guests and lots of drama in the episode, so I am very excited.
Yeah, they didn't blindside us with a second hour of Love Island, so I'm feeling great.
Yeah, I was stressed when I didn't watch it live and was like, how much do I have to catch up on? Please, someone tell me.
And I just love both of us. We're the ones with the podcast, but we're the ones texting the group chat. How long is the episode? What do we have to watch? It's a problem. But we are joined by two amazing guests. They are the co-hosts of Pawnee Public Radio, which is like not on RHAP, but it's like RHAP adjacent. I think they're in a helicopter together. I don't know how they're getting here. But we have Hannah Shapiro and Will Sondheim.
Hey, these are happy notes.
I can't wait to edit that.
Thanks for including us, Kirsten Mackey.
Yeah, just call me whatever you want. I can't wait. I just had a stroke on the podcast.
No, it's okay. It reminds me of sometimes when my dad doesn't want to give his real last name of Shapiro, he goes with Robert Sharp. So I sometimes use Hannah Sharp when I don't want to go with my real name. I don't know how you're going to edit this out now.
I can't edit it out. Now I've been exposed. But honestly, that means I don't have to edit it out. So I'll live with the shame. I do know that your name is Hannah Shapiro. I just can't read.
You were just trying to reflect the past two episodes of Love Island where nobody could get all these new boys' names correct. It was a deep commentary on the episode of Love Island. It wasn't a mistake.
They have Ben, Noah, Bennett, and Benny, right?
Benny. Three Ben? Also, not to immediately dive in, but Sally is so excited that this guy has the same name as her brother, which is my nightmare name situation in the dating world. Like, my brother's name is Sam, and I don't know that I could, like, have a sexual experience with a Sam.
Well, like, what is a normal, complete disqualifier for others is her, like, number one trait she's looking for.
Right. She's like, oh, I can shout out my brother's name in bed. Like, it's weird to me. I love Sally, but it's weird.
My dad's name is Johnny.
So I have a firm no Lucas rule because that's my brother-in-law's name. And I was swiping on Bumble with my sister to help me because she can tell who looks like a wife beater and who doesn't, because I get very scared on these apps. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I have a firm no Lucas rule. And she was like, why? But because then you could have brother Lucas and husband Lucas. And I was like, that's my worst nightmare. I don't want that.
Yeah, I know too many of them.
I love that you say that fear is also your driving force in your app. I'm sorry if I interrupted Brian's voice.
You're good.
I feel like it's something men don't understand on dating apps, that fear is where women start at.
Literally, it's like, okay, does this person look like a murderer? And then you're like, oh, but wait, sometimes murderers look charming. So then is this person too, you have to balance like what you're attracted to with like how much of that is serial killer potential. And then as the listeners to this podcast know, my main type that I'm attracted to is toxic. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'm attracted to this one. So does that mean that they are toxic and will ruin my life?
I'm most worried about, I think, a serial killer and more about like the perfect match who will just kill you. You know, well, like see, that special someone who just has it out.
See, that's a romantic. No, that's Nicole Byer podcasts about that all the time. And she's like, if someone like chooses her to murder, that's like a really intimate, close connection. And, you know, if that's the way I've got to go, that's the way I've got to go.
I remember her telling this joke.
She's told it many times.
Why won't you date me? I started binging Why Won't You Date Me to such an extreme amount that the story started repeating.
Yeah, yep. I can relate to that extremely well. What you can't see under my hoodie is I am actually wearing a shirt with Nicole Byer's face on it.
That's amazing.
We wear our uniform. We put our uniform on this one. Yeah. What are you talking about?
This is a Nicole Byer fan podcast, actually. So
no, I'm retired from reality TV, but the only reality show I would do is Nailed It. But I got told by a Nailed It casting person that Survivor somehow disqualifies me from Nailed It.
Oh.
And it was heartbreaking.
That's so rude. Let's start a petition to get Hannah on Nailed It.
If not now, when?
Yeah, so change.org. Somebody do that. If we get 500 signatures, I think they have to legally put her on the show.
Yeah.
That's
Sean King will send out an email about it. It'll be a whole thing.
Just what you want, Sean King, to help you out.
An endorsement.
Brian, because I operate from a place of extreme politeness, I still am thinking about the fact that I interrupted you and wondering what you wanted to say.
No, I don't even remember at this point.
No,
oh, man.
It really is not a big deal.
Don't feel bad for interrupting Skelly. I do it all the time. So I guess we probably should talk about Love Island. So what is your history with Love Island? Is this like your first season, second season? Have you watched UK? What's the story? Hannah, go first.
Okay. Well, so I watched a UK season like years ago. My friend and I were here and we sort of binged it. It was so much fun. I wish I had looked up which season that was. I'm trying to think. Oh, it was that season that the daughter of that famous guy won.
Yeah, season 4.
Okay, there you go. And they were like, they were locked. It was really fun because the couple that won were sort of like unconventional to Love Island almost, because they weren't like, the guy wasn't like a perfect looking Instagram model. He was like a funny British guy. I really enjoyed it. And then I've like seen other like clips and stuff of British Love Island. But then last year, CBS invited me to the Love Island US season 1 premiere on the CBS lot. And it was really fun. We sat in some official CBS room and then ET interviewed me after, and they did not use what I said about the premiere. I talked a lot about how symmetrical everyone's faces were, and they did not find my commentary important enough for ET. So I'm glad that it's important enough for this podcast. Then I started, I started watching this season knowing that I was going to come on here, and I am very pleasantly surprised because it has a lot more of the British fun than the first season did. And I feel like the first season, for those who, I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast knows, but the winners reminded me of like sort of like social media influencer house, like popular TikTokers. Like I didn't relate as much. And whereas this season, I feel like it has everything that I love about the British show in the US version. So that's my history. Monologue over.
Incredible. And Will, have you ever watched Love Island before? Is this a new experience for you?
This is a good question. Thank you for asking. I feel like I've absorbed a lot of it like via osmosis. I've watched it a little bit. I lived in London for a year for grad school, and it was everywhere. My roommate was for like 2 weeks. I had a roommate who was from Jersey, which is an island in between England and France that was like occupied by the Germans during World War II, and they were kind of okay with it.
Okay.
So like not a great place to start.
Their claim to fame.
He gave me like a crash course in British TV, and I feel like Love Island was on the list. So I like watched it to like familiarize myself with like accents, so I would understand what was going on.
I love the idea of Love Island as just a way to familiarize yourself with different accents.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm in a different country. There's all these accents. I'll never know what anyone's saying if I don't watch all these attractive people make out.
That's what, yeah. That's how I treated like the British X Factor. I would watch it on YouTube and they'd be like, oh, she's clearly from this province in Great Britain.
It's funny. I feel like I can identify like British accents and their regions better than I can identify American accents at this point, because I've watched so much British TV.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, at first it was like, I don't understand. Now I'm like, oh, like she's a Geordie. Like I got it.
Wait, what's the one they always make fun of? Oh, that Stacey from the British X Factor was, you keep talking.
The Yorkshire.
I feel like people make fun of Essex accents a lot because it's Essex, like the trashy accent. But I have a deep and abiding love for Essex accents. I think they sound great.
Big fan. Yeah.
Well, they judged this girl, Stacey, was obviously from Essex, as Simon Cowell said. But then she had a beautiful voice.
In your face, Simon. Yeah, I feel like I was just working with someone whose girlfriend was originally from, I don't know, somewhere in England. I don't remember where. And I was like, yeah, I just love Essex accents. And he was like, why? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, you're not even from there and you're taking on this superiority complex. It's enough.
Oh, I feel like Southern accent, like a Southern American accent is popular overseas, but like is generally used as like a comic, you know, it'll often be like for a character or something. I'm from Arkansas.
Well, whenever anyone does an American accent, they always like have a weird Southern, like have you ever heard a British person trying to do an American accent? It's always Will's right. It's always Southern.
Yeah. Have you seen TikToks. Actually, have you seen Emma Watson in anything?
The Bling Ring?
An American accent.
Oh, if you've not watched the Bling Ring trailer, it also that amazing Doctor Who actress had that comedy. Oh my God, with that really funny guy. This is just going to be me trying.
Wait, no, I know the show you're talking about. It was the it was a take on My Fair Lady.
Oh my gosh! Right? So it's the redheaded.
Yeah.
Karen Gillan.
Oh my God.
What Karen is it? Gillan.
Karen Gillan.
Gillan or Gillan?
Gillan, who I love. She. Big fan. Had a TV show.
It was called
show.
Selfie. It was called Selfie.
Selfie.
And I loved
funny.
That show.
Okay. I think it would have been so funny, but I was so distracted by her accent.
No.
Her attempt at the American accent. I was like, why didn't they just let her be British? Like, nothing would have been different. Yes, it had John Cho, who's great. Like, it seems like a great show, but I was like, why didn't they just let her speak with a British accent?
Okay, listen.
Can you give insight to this?
That show was dead ass so good, and it got canceled before the end of the first season, as so many shows I love get canceled. And she was a pharmaceutical rep, and she was like, the clothes that she wore into the office, I was like, should I be a pharmaceutical rep? Because you can wear whatever you want. But she was like just trashy. And then John Cho is like teaching her how to be like a classy lady. And then they like fall in love because it was a full on remake of My Fair Lady. But it was so good. And at one point, Karen Gillan sings Chandelier by Sia, which actually relates us back to CBS reality. So it's all relevant.
I guess a British accent would have been too classy or not seen in
honestly,
the right character.
I think that's probably what it was, that they were like, no, she's supposed to be a trash bag human.
Would argue that all characters should have British accents, but I guess it makes
that's
sense.
Why I'm watching Downton Abbey, so I can get my accent on point. That's the whole reason. It's not that I'm overly invested in these characters and I love them all.
The Downton Abbey is famously modern and relevant in your accent game.
I just like, have accents changed that much? Like things they talk about and being so mad at like someone having premarital sex. Yeah, that's not modern, but it's set in the 20s. It's not like it's set in the 1700s. Come on, give it a chance, everybody. Anyway, so speaking of superiority complexes, I guess we should talk about Love Island.
Downton Abbey to Love Island is
a real highbrow Love Island.
There's a plot point in Downton Abbey where one of the characters goes for a week-long sex vacation, and I think that's super relevant.
Casa Amor.
Yeah, exactly. Casa Amor. So the episode starts and we have Sally and Benny are coming back from their date And Justine is like, oh my God, you look so happy. Like, her and Caleb fully bought into being like, let's make this as hard as possible for Johnny. Like, mess. And I also really related when they were like, don't worry, we can still hear you the whole time.
Very like, much that.
Right? They're like, hey, bitch, you're loud. And I was like, relatable content.
I've had a friend text me that was like living three blocks away that was like, I can hear you laughing. Are you outside? Like, yes, I am. Thanks, though. So,
are you outside? Yeah, three blocks away.
I feel like that's how all other animals still relate to each other. You know, like I feel like whales are just like, I heard you shouting from 500 miles away. Like, I feel like that's a way that we're, you know, nature is healing. We're like getting back to where we need to be.
Nature is healing. Well, that's like if I ever lose my sister in the grocery store, I start doing a bird call to
Someone will come ask
you. Terrifying for everyone else.
No, it's like you're in the store and you're like, oh my God, I'm lost. Like, do I have to go to customer service and get them to page her? And then you're like, no, I'm an adult woman. I could just start going, coo, coo.
Adult women famously do bird calls.
I don't know. Anyways, imagine being normal. Can't relate. So after the date, Sally and Johnny are talking about everything. And Johnny is like a jealous rage monster and I hate him. And he's
well,
like,
he's projecting. I mean, this is the, you know, the Caleb and Justine sort of have become the villa therapist. And they give great advice as sort of a joint therapy team. And they very quickly realize he's projecting. Like, yeah. Johnny gives it away before the producers can even have the damn game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that Jalen is gone, like, it has to fall to someone else to be the, like, little therapist. And very much, like, it's something that, like, I know, like, we have called out, but, like, to hear it on the show, finally, like, Johnny is like, all right, well, if you're going to be late, it's like, whoa, okay, and everyone else sees it, and that's good, because I think people really did need to tell Sally as shown.
Well, fire. I texted Kristen this week angrily about a random clip that wasn't supposed to bring anyone anger, where Love Islanders, they answered random questions, like, really lighthearted questions, and one of them was, who's the funniest girl in the villa? And everyone was saying Sally, but before Johnny said Sally, he had to say, you know, girls usually can't make me laugh or something like that. Or like, I don't usually find girls funny.
That's a red flag.
And then went into that, which is just a huge red flag. And I was like, yeah, it's like, he has to like, I've never understood. And I told Chris, I was like, I've never understood why like Amy Poehler and Tina Fey had to be asked like for years if women could be funny. I was like, how does gender, I mean, yes, there are lots of unfunny women and lots of unfunny men, but it was a huge red flag for me. And it pissed me off more than him and Casa Amor, to be honest.
Well, and you immediately proved him wrong by texting me several very funny comments about his perception of women being funny. And I was like, God, Hannah's hilarious. Yeah,
I may or may not have been like, Johnny needs to like see the outline of a dick in order to laugh at a joke. Not that gender is defined by that. Yeah, in his mind.
Well, and it's really great because she immediately follows that up with like, yeah, he needs to fondle a testicle to find a joke funny, but like, gender's not defined by having a dick or not. And I was like, to him it probably is. Like, you're okay, I know that you understand.
Then we got into a deep conversation about gender, which is where I hope this podcast goes.
Honestly,
it was cool watching a bunch of episodes right next to each other, because I feel like I also literally just watched the pilot and just watched the episode from last night. And so like from the pilot, I was like, Johnny seems nice, like, and hot, of course.
but here's the thing. Before we knew Johnny was who he has revealed himself to be, I texted Kristen and she can confirm this. I said, because for a while, Will, he seems great. And I said, he's way too calm, not in like a confident way that like Sally has, but in a way where like, I feel like, I just got like player vibes by his lack of any nerves. Didn't I text you that? And then Casa Amor happened and my thesis statement got proven.
And thank you for coming to Hannah's TED Talk. like, literally, she has been texting me about Johnny the whole season. Like, he's too calm. I don't trust anyone who's that calm. And you were right. And
despite also just being an anxious person, being like, I'm never this calm. So regardless, I'm sure, Johnny, if you're listening to this when you get out of the house, the villa eventually, just I'm going to assume for the rest of the podcast that Johnny is going to listen in.
I'm going to assume that Johnny doesn't know what podcast is. Which was the old running joke we had about Zach and Elizabeth who won last season, but it turns out that Elizabeth actually has a podcast, so it's not a very good joke. But that's fine. Our Love Island podcast is higher ranked on iTunes than hers.
Damn.
I'm top ranked in Canada. Is that right? Are you guys a top Canadian U.S.? That's premier.
We actually, if you're looking up Love Island USA, we're the number one podcast everywhere, baby. But if you just type in Love Island, we're the number one in Canada, the number two in the US, because stupid ITV has their own podcast with actual like celebrities or whatever, and it's just really rude to us personally.
Yeah.
I like how these episodes don't have titles too. Can I say that this is just episode 23? They don't give it a title.
Can you imagine if it had been like book 2, chapter 23?
The reckoning. Something really dramatic.
Like, these shows have great voiceovers, and obviously Matt Hoffman is like a pretty funny voiceover guy, but can you imagine if he was coming in like deadly serious, like last time on Love Island, Sally went on a date with Benny, and we thought Benny was going to tell her the truth, but he didn't. And now we're going to tell her the truth.
That would be a completely different show. That's not the show at all.
Well, I have so much respect for the editors who turn these episodes around at the speed of light, but I have noticed that there is, I mean, in terms of like suddenly taking a serious turn, does every episode end with like a hard cut to like a photo negative that looks like someone's been killed? Like every episode is like on rails. It's like this nice reality TV show. And then there's like a split second of just like the X-Files like in parentheses.
It's like, imagine if they are combining Love Island with Unsolved Mysteries and all of a sudden they're talking about the Luminol. Like a mess. Okay, so I don't where. So yeah, so Johnny's really mad at Sally, and we have Sally and Justine had a really great conversation that I loved, and they had several that I loved over it because Sally and Justine are my OTP on this show.
I know that is one true pairing because I got sent so many acronyms and like hip slang over the years that I Googled OTP so many times.
Why were you getting sent OTP?
I don't know. I feel like people always send me hip acronyms and I never know them. So the amount of times I've had to like Urban Dictionary random combinations of letters is just like so high. So I know what one true pairing is.
Well, that's my work implemented a new system where you get like a one-time password, but it kept all it. They didn't announce it. And so it was like, your OTP is, and then it was like a string of numbers. And I was like, this isn't even a phone number. It's not long enough. I don't know what's going on. I was so confused. Like, who is this person?
It's an AI. Once it gains sentience, you'll fall in love with it.
Embarrassed to say, it took me like four of those to figure out what it was.
See, I'm just picturing people tweeting at Hannah being like, you and Ken McNichol are my OTP.
I think part of it probably is having been a character and people use slang at me. Oh boy.
Yeah.
What a throwback.
Sorry. I also had to,
that was never an OTP, more like a, I was going to try to make up an acronym on this.
No,
that was like, F. Bam.
That was really good. That was definitely worth the time.
I hope if Survivor ever comes back, I hope people use FFP, which is fictional for producers.
They will.
Fictional
I'm confident.
For producers actually is so relatable. I feel like I have a lot of things that were fictional for producers in my life.
But you were saying that Justine and Sally, honestly, they're just, it's such, I love how much screen time they get because I feel like it's all my female friendships are like this. They're so great.
Yeah, 100%. It's all about the female friendships. And I love, like, Sally obviously has the awareness of what's going on here. She's like, I don't want to go run and tell a boy I'm not allowed to talk to him. Like, that just feels stupid.
She says so many things that in the moment I would not be able to recognize where she's like, I want to be with him, but I know I deserve better if this is the situation. And even like a couple episodes ago when he told her, he was like, she kissed me. She goes, well, don't put it all on her. The like recognition of like, no, don't put it on this other woman. I'm not going to get mad at this random woman. Like, you're the one who was supposed to stay loyal. I don't know. I don't know how she like is emotional, but also like super self-aware. And like, she almost like sees it from an outside perspective.
Like, if I were in the situation, I would just date Johnny for a decade. And then when it was over, be like, what just happened? What? Why? Why did I do any of those things?
Well, even like she has the presence of mind to be like, this isn't my boyfriend. Like, what am I doing here? They haven't, and they've been together the longest. Mackenzie and Connor were boyfriend and girlfriend after 3 days in the villa.
Yeah, but then Johnny took it back.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then they became boyfriend and girlfriend again. Only
and I watched back again. Some of her exit press too, as part Same. Of.
I love Mackenzie's. I fully slid into Mackenzie's DMs to try and get an interview with her.
Well, we can try to help. I think Mackenzie should definitely. I was. Yeah. I realized, Kristen, now that I'm here, that I've been texting you a lot.
Oh, no, you're
I
fine.
Think this is the relationship because I was almost like, well, I texted Kristen about my thoughts on Mackenzie, but like most of this podcast is going to be like, we've texted.
Yeah, actually, guys, this whole podcast already was recorded as text messages between myself and Hannah, and you will have to pay us to get access to those. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, that's my OTP. Oh,
God. Even Justine has that great line of like self-awareness, be like, if you were giving advice to me, what would you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what a way to end this episode.
What a great line.
And she's like, I would tell you it's not worth it. Oh, it got me.
Remember when Johnny told Sally not to get fussy after like 10 seconds of her emoting honestly?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Remember?
Johnny is literally
remember
like
when he
trash.
Went into the makeup room and started poking at her and then she reacted and he goes, well, I didn't come in here to get attacked.
I'm literally I'm having flashbacks to my own personal life. And so being like, yeah, you're not funny and this isn't okay and blah blah blah. And then me being like, whoa, that's not okay to say to someone. And then them being like, well, why are you attacking me? Like, what? Like, that's this
I've
is literally how men act in the world.
Every social media interaction with a man.
Well, hey, at least it's only on social media.
Yeah, I think the funny thing is, you know, now that I'm dating a little, is like, I think people don't realize how tested I am because of the internet. Like, you can't gaslight me. I'm ungaslightable. Like, I have a platform on Twitter. Do you know how many men have tried to gaslight me on Twitter?
Do you know like, who I am?
No. I didn't mean I'm important. I just
said
like, I'm
joking.
I have,
like, do you know how many battle scars I have?
It's funny because you like legitimately have a platform. And you're like, no, I'm nobody. But I fully would be like, do you know who I am? It's like, no, nobody knows who I am. And that's why it's funny.
Do
you even know who I am? No, I don't. Okay, well, bye.
Yeah, Kristen opens every Bumble message with, actually, I'm the number one podcaster in Canada of Love Island.
No, everybody knows that I open every Bumble message with what's cooking, and that's why I have no success in my life. Yeah, so then what we get is the boy talk, and the boy talk is a lot because you get like Carrington and confessional saying Johnny is out of control. He's just feeling guilty about Casa more, which I feel like is more self-awareness, like not self-awareness, more awareness than I would have expected from Carrington up to this point. And then you get Johnny going to Justine and Caleb and they're like, what, like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, Casamore is clouding her judgment. It's like, she wasn't there. You were there. Enough.
I think this is what we call guilt, ladies and gentlemen. It's like the Lady Macbeth. Johnny's basically Lady Macbeth. It's like he sees blood on his hands, and so he keeps rubbing them together. But she doesn't see the blood because she didn't kill anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. I realized that I have a pet peeve of... Maybe this is a normal thing that everyone hates. But when a guy will, like... put on a girl voice to describe like an earnest conversation that they've had. Like in Boy Talk, Johnny is like describing this conversation that he had with Sally, and he does Sally's voice. And he like does like he I don't even know.
He's like, I'm Sally and I'm overreacting. And you're like, that's not what she sounds like. And that's not what she's doing.
Yeah. You weren't actually listening. You were just trying to get your way. Dude.
Yeah, he really sucks. Like, Johnny really did have people fooled. Like, the last time they did a compatibility vote...
He didn't have me fooled. Well, because he knows, because I texted her.
Because Hannah is un-gaslightable, okay? He gaslit all of us.
I am battle-tested.
And, yeah, but, like, for the vast majority of the audience, like, 82% of people voted them as the most compatible couple before Casamore.
He did... us a favor, because we know who we're all rooting for to win this thing. And now the vote, they should, knock on wood, he was kind of cock blocking the votes for our favorite couple, Justine and Caleb. And by doing this, we have Chrissy Teigen's favorite couple in the lead.
I just love having something in common with Chrissy Teigen.
I'm still going to be worried if Johnny and Sally end up back together, which I pray this does not happen, but I still think that that vote split could lead to a upsetting result because I don't trust the public voting, but we'll see.
Justine and Caleb are just so great. Like, I listen to their conversations and I smile. I'm just here smiling by my lonesome. Forgetting the world and just wrapped up in young love.
That's all you need is just a couple you could just smile while you listen to their conversations.
I mean, it almost feels like, ooh, I shouldn't be watching this. It's almost like too intimate, but not in like a sexual way, but like in like a, like watching Caleb open up. And like, oh, it's just so cute. I smile. I'm smiling now.
Well, and you know what? I just hope that for one listener of this podcast, we're making them smile.
I hope so too.
And if you're not smiling, I don't want to hear about it.
It will improve your mood. Even if you don't feel like it, just try it. 20 seconds, everyone. Put a smile on.
I can't believe you're just telling people they need to smile more. Did you just get canceled?
This is it for me. It was really nice meeting everyone.
Bye.
Everyone.
Girls are rarely funny to Will, and everyone should smile more. You heard it here first.
That's what's really hard about recording this podcast is Hannah is being very funny, and then Will is just sitting there stone-faced, like, what is the, why am I here? Why are there so many women talking?
No.
I'm sorry.
No, I like it.
Will address all the concerns on Pawnee Public Radio. We release an episode every Tuesday, so.
Send them on their speak pipe.
I'll write something up in my notes app and I'll post it on Twitter.
There you go.
For my 100 of followers.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I feel like I want to start making like notes app apologies, but like for the most random things.
That is such a funny bit.
Like, I just feel like I'm going to be
like, wait a sec.
Hello.
That is. Oh, man. Like, that is such a funny bit.
Like, I feel like I want to, like, go into the notes app and be like, I'd just like to apologize to the elderly lady at the grocery store. I did get within 6 feet of you. It was not on purpose. It will not happen again.
I was making bird sounds. I was lost and I was scared. I'm sorry if I offended you. But it wasn't my intention.
Can we all, when this podcast, the day this podcast gets released, can we all release a OneNotes app apology for something random to promote the pod?
Well, I was
can
that say,
be how we promote it?
I was going to say, do we need to do a notes app apology for this podcast?
Potentially.
I probably we'll see how it goes. I feel like I should be sending Rob like notes app apology texts every day. Like, Rob, I'm really sorry that I'm on your platform being like this.
I just wish someone would mix it up and like do like a fun like PowerPoint slideshow or something for their apology.
I love when people make PowerPoint slideshows. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make a PowerPoint slideshow apology. I'm gonna use the green screen tool on TikTok, and then I'm gonna sit in front of my PowerPoint and present why I'm sorry.
For the next YouTuber that has a scandal, that's the move.
No, when a YouTuber has a scandal, they sit in front of the camera and they cry, okay? And they talk about how hard it is to film this video.
But they could have a PowerPoint behind them on green screen.
I don't think YouTubers know how to use PowerPoint.
You know who's a YouTuber? Noah. He's got a comedy YouTube channel.
Oh, does he?
What?
Yeah.
This is news.
I was trying to do a little bit of research on him.
I'm shocked that that's what we're hearing about Noah, because we got a lot of tweets about something else that Noah might be up to.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I think this is a great opportunity to just
leave. What kind of comedy does he do? Well, did you enjoy it?
I didn't like or subscribe.
And be funny. What?
I didn't like or subscribe.
Yeah.
I
the two measures.
What was the comedy? Now what's his name? His name, last name.
No Purvis. That's a pretty good last name. That's like a Parks and Rec last name.
Purvis.
Think though
it's
for
just
his
too
line
close
of-
to pervert.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't find it. You would think for his line of work, he wouldn't have been so distracted by Kristen's boobs in that one scene where he kept looking at them.
Well, the line of work that I saw, there might not have been too many boobs around, so maybe it wouldn't be distracting.
Okay. No,
fair.
Now I'm going to look up his comedy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up his comedy.
I didn't
after
think
this.
That sentence was going to end with comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know. I like, though, then, considering what you found about him. Well, not that he can't still be a saint, but didn't Moira call him a saint at one point?
I mean, I feel like one of the main things about being a saint is you have to be martyred, and us talking about him on this podcast probably counts as being martyred, so he could be a saint.
And then two miracles.
Two miracles.
Two witness of miracles, I think up to 30 years. And then there's beautification. It's a whole ordeal.
We've got a Catholic on the pod.
Well, he came in as a witness for the Selly Johnny thing. And
is he the one who spilled the beans?
Yep.
Okay. Because everyone was waiting for someone to spill the tea.
And so, like, on the Thursday night episode, I feel like everyone was like, ugh, who's Noah? We hate him. We hate his hair. We hate his face. He's the worst. And then out of this episode, I was like, oh, I don't dislike Noah.
I just want him to be able to take her from Johnny. And I, you know.
So I feel like it could be kind of similar to the Moira James Calvin situation that happened earlier, where like it won't actually take that much to get her because she's embroiled in a very toxic situation at the moment.
It's about escaping someone else, not who you're moving on to.
I listened to a full James interview.
But why?
Because when someone has such an extreme edit, I'm always curious if their after interview is going to show self-awareness. Or if it's gonna, or if they're gonna double down. I'm always curious about that.
And did he double down?
Sounds like yes.
I guess he didn't do either of the options I gave. He sort of like tried to give more context with more apologies, which made it make slightly more sense, but not fully.
See, I saw everything I needed to see when I saw James' face for the first time, and I said, this man is very attractive. And then I said, red flag.
For me, it was was his last name being McCool, which I'm on ancestry.com right now, just kind of curious about the McCools through history, you know, like where a really some really cool little Irish family.
Well, it's so in like Irish and Scottish like naming conventions, the Mick / Mac means son of. So that means his name is son of cool.
Yeah.
Because
so his dad is really cool.
Cool is my dad's mom. Name. Yeah. Call me McCool.
Mr. Cool is my dad. That's actually, if you look at a lot of like last name naming conventions, it means like son of. Like for the Mac and Mick means son of, and I know that of course because my last name is McInnes, son of Innes. But like,
do me. I'm son Heim.
Yours is just even more obvious.
Yeah.
Wow. Son of Heim. That's you.
Or maybe son of he. I'm like someone was trying to finish a sentence and then
son get through it. He I'm. I'm just trying to tell you my pronouns.
Is that true for first name? So it was son of son of Kenzie?
Maybe. I don't know. I only know about my last name because I'm egotistical.
You can't be responsible for the world.
There's too many names. How am I supposed to be responsible for all of them? All I know is that my sister's new last name means drowning.
Oh.
And I laughed really hard. And to be fair, Kate, there was two possible options for what it could mean. And one of them was like, about a type of tree. I can't remember what type of tree. And the other one was drowning. And my sister fully was like, I prefer the drowning definition.
All right.
I feel like this podcast is just exposing Diana too much.
A little bit.
I don't mean to get back to the episode, but I have a lot of thoughts on this game.
Please do. So, so the game that they play, they call it Sucker Punched, and they are getting tweets from the audience with names blanked out, and they have to guess who is named. And I feel like most of it was all about the last one we got with Johnny and Sally, but I died laughing at the one about Moira dumping a guy the minute a new guy shows her attention.
I just had so many feelings about this, having been on a reality show that tapes and then the audience watches. But I can't imagine if like midway through Survivor, if it was live, they were like, blank should really take a bath. She's looking dirty. And it was like, Hannah, like, I just can't imagine. I like really put myself in the closest I can think of a Survivor is that game where like, people have to answer questions like who's the most annoying at camp and then everyone has to vote.
Coconut Chop.
Yes.
Yeah. We've played that with our friend group. Interesting results.
That would be disaster.
Do you believe that in our friend group, I'm the one they think is most likely to get into a fight?
Yes, the answer is yes.
But it's not because I'm likely to get into a fight. It's because none of us are likely to get into a fight. And I'm just an aggressive personality. I've never physically fought anyone. I will cyberbully, but I won't physically fight.
I cannot believe you played Coconut Chop.
First of all, I don't even have a table in front of me because I don't have my desk yet. I'm sitting in my nest on the floor podcasting. Don't be lying, acting like I'm slamming my fists on the table. Enough.
Oh man, I just really feel like it's a crazy way to hear what the audience or at least what the producers want you to. It's just so fascinating.
Well, and can I just
say, feedback it show?
Can I just say, Hannah, that anyone the idea that people are judging about someone looking dirty on Survivor?
But I was covered in dirt.
Yeah, but like,
no, like you don't. I out there was like, I'm going to look jungly. It's going to be part of my look as I get through the season. And then I watched it back and I was like, everyone else washed their damn faces. I'm the only one that looks like a freaking jungle animal by the end. Like I'm covered in dirt. My hair gets crazier and crazier. I thought it was funny. I think what was frustrating is people kept telling me to like wipe the dirt off. But it had filmed months ago. And if I could jump into that TV and talk to that version, then I would.
If you had a bidet on that island.
If I had sucker punched in the middle of the show, it may have helped me, just like it did Sally.
You would have washed your face. That was actually talking about bidets on Survivor. In our last episode, we were wondering if anyone ever tried to make a homemade bidet on Survivor, or if the ocean is just your bidet.
Is sort of a homemade bidet.
I mean, I was wondering, like, would someone make it with bamboo? I don't know.
I think the waves do that. You don't really need to make a contraption.
The only contraption I can imagine is, like, that involves bamboo is, like, there needs to be another person on the other side of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what force is besides, like, what's
that
going
is
on?
So funny.
See, I was picturing you just, like, put the bamboo, like, into a wave, but it just, like, targets the wave.
You already have the wave.
I think you're going to end up with a stick bamboo up your ass situation if you do that. I'm imagining.
Hey, we don't kink shame on this podcast.
Reality. I also, yeah, I love in Love Island, I will say, like, when you just the mundane conversations, not even like the center of the drama, are some of my favorite. Like Carrington, who is just, you know, with this little Southern woman, she's like, hey, like, what do you think's gonna happen after the island? And he's like, well, we're not boyfriend, girlfriend. Alabama's far. We'll see. And she's like, that's just what I wanted to hear. And I was like, this is why I love this show. And I don't know why I'm bringing this up now, but you said Carrington about 20 minutes ago, and I've been thinking of that conversation since then.
I feel like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, this is the joy of Love Island. You have the extreme drama of, like, Sally learning the truth and the love between Justine and Sally and Justine and Caleb. But then you just have, like, hot people talking.
I just love, like, Carrington says, well, Alabama's far, we'll see. But what he means is, I'm going to be sleeping with a lot of people after this show is over. So the drama from this challenge comes from the tweet is like, aren't they going to tell us the truth of what happened to Casa Amor? What he said wasn't even half of it. Everyone gets Sally and Johnny, and it gets really tough. But all of the guys are also
bouncing. I love at the end of the game they go, and Sally and Johnny win the game. As if anything and everything's not ruined. That was a great punchline.
So good. And so then
they don't win anything. There's no prize, Will. Sometimes their love shack, what is it called? The hideaway is the prize, but
very rarely. I did find Connor's most likable moment to come from here, too, where he was like, I'm going to find you and we're probably going to be good friends and have a nice conversation.
Yeah.
Hey.
That was a nice moment. I had a quick question for the group.
Please.
Okay.
Do you guys feel like maybe Bennett's referee costume should have been hotter? Like, should it have been like a hot version of a referee?
Like, should he have been in like booty shorts and like a crop top?
Should there have been, or even just mesh, even just like a little bit of mesh somewhere.
A little mesh goes a long way. Okay, I'll admit, I actually thought that he looked very attractive in his referee.
I'm like professional. Okay.
Like, he looked like a real.
If this was a female referee,
exactly.
Oh yeah, 100%.
A bikini referee top with a little whistle.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I'm really mad that they didn't put him in a mesh crop top and booty shorts. Mm-hmm.
Like black and white, like body paint stripes.
There you go.
I just think they have. I want them to take some risks.
To the producers, too much clothing is what I heard.
No, I think what I heard is
like that one challenge where all the women. Oh, sorry.
No, go for it. Talk about the other challenge.
No, you go for it first, and then I'll go for it, and then we'll both say it together.
I'm sorry.
My headphones fell off right as I told her to go. That one challenge where the women had to like slide down into the soap in bikinis. All I wanted was like I want to do this and I want them to slow-mo on me like choking on soap.
Well, that was my feedback on that. No one did it goofy. They all went for sexy.
I will say like Love Island is It's fascinating because we're in obviously like Las Vegas now, but like last year's Love Island, as much as the cast was less interesting, they filmed in Fiji, where we filmed Survivor. And there's this sexy shot of them like entering in a boat last year in slow-mo. And I had to put the photo of all of us like struggling to stay on the boat in the same water sex in a tweet. Oh, I'm mad no one did it funny. Anyways, you're right, Will. It should have been sexy.
Yeah, Will is out here being a feminist icon, calling out the double standard in costumes for men and women.
It's a growth podcast for him. He started telling us we need to smile more. And now he's, you know.
Well, it's because now when he writes his notes app apology, he could be like, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. This isn't what I do. It's like, well, but you just did it 30 minutes ago. That's not who I am anymore.
Honestly, getting canceled was the best thing that ever happened to me.
So basically what comes of this is we've kind of already talked about, like, everyone just has separate conversations about the Casa Amor situation. Sally's like, am I being manipulated? I don't know. But what I really liked out of all the fallout is Caleb and Johnny. And Caleb is like, Sally should not be wondering if she's being manipulated. Like, this is a problem. And I just really like,
he was said it's a bad look. Like, he was like, it doesn't look good for you that your girl is worried about this. There's just this meta-ness to some of, they're like aware that this is a TV show. Well, they even know they're big films.
He says like, it's a beyond a bad look now. Like, it's a bad look. Like, and this, like, she's also like aware of this and et cetera. Like, it is not working at all.
Yeah, and so, like, the episode ends with a preview looking like this is going to continue on Sunday. Sally is like, well, I'm being told to trust him, but I don't trust him. She has a confessional where she's like, I just simply don't trust him anymore. And I hope that she does what she needs to do and just breaks up with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about it, but that conversation with Sally and Justine where Sally is like, I would tell you it's not worth it, was like such a good episode ender. Like, as much as I wanted to see the fallout, it was like a really good way to like, okay, Sunday, get here faster. So I am, you know, hoping what needs to be done is done, because I don't want Sally to look stupid, but also I want Justine and Caleb to get more of the vote. So I am hoping that this goes the way we think it's going to.
But even if she doesn't, I mean, not to play devil's advocate, I feel like people are like, she better not take him back. But if she decides to feel it out, I don't know. I trust that Sally will eventually come to the right decision.
Sure.
I trust her.
Outside of the villa, maybe. But the thing is, I saw so many like screenshots of like in the
said 50% of the people said that 50.1 or something said that she should just forgive him.
Yep, like forgive him, and like 40%. I forget, like it was all these things being like, oh, like it wasn't a big deal, and like Johnny's the best. I was like, oh no, like,
this is not what should be happening. She articulates so beautifully why she's upset. It's like, it's not that he made out with someone when they're, you know, so new. Oh no, people are smiling. Did I interrupt someone?
No, you're good. Keep going.
It's
sorry, I enjoy what you have to say.
People are smiling. It's not that, like, it's not that he, you know, made out with a girl. They'd only been seeing each other a couple days. It's that he came back, immediately downplayed it, and essentially lied. And someone was saying, and I don't want to, maybe you guys can confirm this, that there's an extra scene somewhere where she talks about her father being unfaithful and that leading her to trust issues. So I believe, and I don't want to like make something up if I just saw this somewhere, I believe there's a history here with trust and loyalty being important for this reason.
I have not seen it, but that would track, because she has even said like, it's my number one thing. And like you said, she was worried that like before, like even before she knew any of what happened, the fact that he was like, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it, like nothing, like don't worry about it, don't, it's not a big deal. And so like that would put a lot of this into some
context. And if Sally's dad is listening and this is not true, then that's on me.
Well, we'll have a notes app apology ready tomorrow about that.
There we go.
If you're listening, Sally's dad. Well, I think what the issue more so is, like, if Johnny had come back and had given Sally all of the information and Sally said, I can accept this and we can move forward. Like, that's on them. That's their relationship. That's their prerogative. But the fact that he didn't give all of the information is like more of a red flag. And
right.
Makes
and sense. I have a question. Some of the Casa Amor girls have come off the show saying that they slept together. It went to a certain extent. What do you believe? Like, what do you think happened?
I think the one I believe the most is from one of the Casa Amor women's YouTube video where they were like, they definitely didn't have sex in the bed, but there was a crazy night in the hot tub and I don't know what happened under the water. So I think there was probably some hand stuff.
I didn't want to bring this up. I will say I fell asleep in the bed when the sheet came over. I was also under there. If you look closely, you can see my head kind of like poking up and I'm like just trying to not get involved. And like,
so
I'll go in the notes.
Yeah. Well, give us the exclusive.
I fell immediately back asleep. It's like a defensive, like possum.
Just passed out.
Yeah. And I woke up and I was back in Chicago.
Wow. What a dream.
Yeah.
Is that a dream to have fallen asleep in the bed with Johnny and Mercedes?
No. I mean, I don't mean it as in like a dream. Like it's fully a nightmare. But
whoa,
I
mean, a nightmare.
Nightmares
wow,
are
that
dreams.
That was rude to Johnny and Mercedes person.
Okay. I just feel like I've been put between a rock and a hard place right now and nothing I say is going to be good enough for you people.
This is the YouTube apology.
I'm going to have to make a PowerPoint of everything I've said to be canceled.
Well, I was thinking about Johnny's apology and how it just seems like it fits the pattern of someone like de-escalating, like in quotation marks, and wanting something to be nice, but not actually like resolving the conflict. Like it's just a pattern of him like burying it, or like not thinking that avoiding conflict, or like, yeah, I don't know. That's not a clear way of saying it, but I think just like all the tools and like tactics that he's doing are about keeping him in a powerful and comfortable position. Yep. And like taking that power away from himself.
That's exactly. That's something I like brought up on the last podcast that you could even tell where like they're talking and as soon as Sally starts talking, he's like, no, come move over to this position, like getting her out of where she's comfortable.
Okay, when he made her take off her sunglasses, it was so angering to me because it's like he was like, I don't want to make you do anything. He literally had just been like, I don't want to control what you do. Take off your sunglasses. They're on TV. There's a reason she wants to have her sunglasses on for whatever reason.
And it's like, it's not like they're inside. They're outside on a roof in Vegas in the sun. I think she's allowed to have sunglasses on if she wants her sunglasses on.
They're also, you can see her eyes. They're not like pitch black sunglasses.
I wish they were. I wish you couldn't see her eyes at all. And then she'd been like, no, I'm not taking them off. I don't want to look at you.
I love the... I think I was like delightfully surprised by it. I had so much fun with just like the scoring and the soundtrack of Love Island. They have bangers.
Oh, the music is so good. The Billie Eilish this episode. Yeah.
When they started playing Bad Guy over like the whole Johnny Selly thing, I was like, they deserve an Emmy for this.
Yeah. There was some song where they were playing it over the men and the lyrics had the word gay a lot. And I wasn't sure if we were being told something.
I wish. That's a more interesting game to me. Just add one more level of like, all right, now another recoupling.
Like we've talked about if they had
sexual chemistry. Oh.
No, it's okay.
No, it's okay. You go.
We've talked a lot about how much more entertaining it would be if it was like at least half the cast were bisexual so that they could all intermingle. Like it would just be more interesting.
I think the newest season of Freak 1 did that.
Yep.
Is that right? Where it was just like super queer and like the math.
Everyone was sexually fluid.
Yeah,
nothing is more queer than math.
Oh, math.
No, but I thought that question of what's Moira's ex, the guy with a lot of freckles, what's his name?
Calvin.
When they said Calvin has a lot of sexual chemistry, I didn't think they were going to say the Southern girl. I thought they were going to say a dude. I genuinely think that's what
I thought it would be like Calvin has a lot of sexual chemistry with his own reflection. Like, I don't know.
I love if they revealed the words his own reflection.
Everyone's like, Laurel. And it's like his own reflection.
It was written really tiny font to fit where a name would otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It's in size 8. They have to get like a magnifying glass out to see what it says. So, Kate, do we want to answer some questions from the audience?
Yes. Wow, that was too excited. I got too excited.
The first question is from Allie Lasher, who says, am I dreaming? It might be a nightmare.
Is she in bed with Johnny and Mercedes?
I will.
Allie, we have to get out of here. Okay, that's closer to like a dream of mine. I'd love to hang out with Allie anywhere.
I love Allie so much. I deeply want to hang out with her in person again one day.
It was just on our podcast.
I know, I listened. It was so good. She crashed through the glass door.
Is that her question?
That was her question. Yeah, I wasn't even going to read it, but then I was like, oh, we were just talking about dreams, so we should bring up Allie Lasher and give her a shout out. So Grace Leader asks, which Parks and Rec character and or couple would be the most fun to watch on Love Island?
I mean, I think Donna.
Andy. Oh.
Oh, that's good too.
What do you think?
I love to get Donna in there.
Crush it. Yeah.
Yeah, she would win.
She would win.
Would love Donna. Would pick Jean Ralphio. Feel like he would be a great addition to any cast.
His like slow motion walk up scene and like, you know, a close up of whatever his stomach looks like. I think
Joan Calamezzo would be a real Mackenzie.
So I would like Joan then.
Yeah, so Joan is a star and that's what we want. So I'm going to put my vote there because we Joan love
wins,
Mackenzie.
But Joan is the star, yeah.
Yeah.
April and Andy are like the most solid couple.
Kurt Happily might be like the most emotionally intelligent
person. But Kurt's got to narrate it. Kurt will be like, Joan Calamezzo has picked up a drink. He would be the narrator.
Yeah.
He'll be great question. Thank you to who said it in?
That was Grace.
Grace. You could tell by my shouting how excited I was to get audience. Do you want to hear from the audience? Yes.
I wish shouting was a way to know of excitement for me and not just like my default setting. We also got from Sarah West. She wants us to look into our crystal ball and tell us what's going to happen with Mackenzie and Connor post show. Yes, she wants rampant speculation.
Mackenzie said in all her exit press that if Connor leaves single, she's hoping to get back together. I just want to put that out there, that is in the exit press.
She did say that. The minute she sees the episodes, is she still going to want that?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. The answer is yes. I'm sorry. It is. Like, I understand that Connor was gaslighting her and like they both were like problems with each other, but I fully see them getting back together. They have, you know, Instagram sponsored content. They show up like doing interviews for season 3. Like, I'm
Your
fully ready.
Your ball is so specific.
Well, they wanted details.
Do they interview on?
I'm going to pull a tarot card and I'm going to say that that's what's going to happen. With Mackenzie and Connor. Okay, let's go. Just one card. And it is the Mother of Pentacles. They're gonna have a baby.
All right. Maybe that's like when they come back on season 4, they trot out the baby.
Having a baby. That's me not wanting to look in the guidebook and see what the Mother of Pentacles actually means.
A baby like rounding the corner to like intro music is really funny to me.
The baby's walking out in a bikini in slow motion. It's the sequel to Cuties.
Nope.
It was really cool when you guys were the number one ranked Love
Island. And now I'm in prison.
So what's the next question?
Yeah, so anyways, Logan says that Hannah and Will are both very funny and very punny. So that's a compliment for both of you. And he wants to know, do you guys have any fave like narrator moments of the season? Like, have any jokes really stood out to you?
From Mr. Hoffman?
Yeah, from Mr. Hoffman.
This is a good question. I think when I, because he is like the voice of the audience, I do, it's hard to know where he ends and I begin. You know, like what's a funny little joke he makes and what's just a thought that I had. And the much shorter, much shorter answer is just, I don't remember.
I liked when he was describing to us Investigator Selly this episode. And then he really spelled out how first you have to like separate the subjects. And we see like Caleb take Johnny. It just, you know, it felt like a different genre. It was really fun. I still wish Kurt Happley was the narrator sometimes. Mackenzie is crying again, which to me shows the emotion of she's sad.
Incredible. Okay, we also got from Andrea Trantham wants to know who will couple up on the inevitable RHAP Love Island.
I think Nicole and Rob have a shot at it.
I mean, I think that those two crazy kids could really make it work.
Yeah, I think they might just go the mile.
They might just go the mile? I think that Allie Lasher and I are going to get married. So we'll probably
there we go.
I feel there like Puya go. And Liana could really make things happen.
Fair.
Will and Johnny and Mackenzie. McKenna?
Mercedes.
There we go.
I don't even know where we went from there, but I just thought the concept of an RHAP Love Island made my stomach like shrivel up and I wanted to die.
I like judging the dating shows. I don't think I would hold well under dating scrutiny.
Yeah, I don't.
Hannah, why isn't Hannah washing her face for any of these days?
Why is there dirt on her face? She's not in Fiji anymore.
She's not in Fiji. She got a rooftop in Las Vegas. Why are there sticks in her hair?
It's like, oh my God. Hannah every morning walks out, sticks her face into an empty planter full of dirt just to get ready for the day. I don't understand.
All the other girls are putting on foundation. I learned a lot about the application of foundation from the show. I worked in reality TV before I went on Survivor, and I worked on the show Famously Single. And it had this, oh my God, what was it? This woman from, I'm forgetting her name, but she would put her makeup on for hours. And I couldn't even, this is not a judgment, but I could not sit in a mirror and know what to do for more than 5 minutes of makeup. So these women are teaching me a lot about how to put on foundation.
But the thing is that they are actually teaching like how to paint for TV and not how to paint for your life.
That's fair.
It's not the same.
That's fair.
You need glow up fans in the house.
What?
Hello?
What?
Hello? Is anyone else here? Did you guys stop the podcast?
The podcast is over. Sorry.
I'll let myself out.
it of course goes to makeup. We didn't get as many questions as I thought we would get for you guys. I was like advertising, like we have these actual professional podcast guests, like they know how to create a polished product and they're coming over to our dumpster fire to like slum for a little bit.
Warm up. It's cold out there.
It's cold being professional.
Thinking about the RHAP Love Island episode where like just the idea that everyone who walks around the corner is someone you know already. And like you slowly realize like these are all like I know all of these people. Like you keep waiting to step forward for like a stranger and it's just like, oh hey Rob. Like,
oh hey, how's it going?
I like that.
And then like what happens for Casa Amor in the RHAP Love Island? Like who are the additional people? Is it like the class of 2020 comes in?
There you go.
I think RHAP did like the one sequester game and that was probably enough. I don't know.
I yeah. I had sequester thoughts, but then I stopped myself.
Ooh. Well, but what are the sequester thoughts? Unless they're bad, and don't share them.
No, it seems like a really fun game. I politely declined the Survivor Sequester, and then there was so much drama after the Survivor Sequester that I was like, whew.
Sequester is like a very fun game to play, but it's also really stressful. And like, I played in March. It is September, and sometimes I'm still like, wow. Why did I tell Rob who to vote for? He would have gone home, and I would not have gone home on a rock draw.
I always sound like an arrogant tool when people tell me that they deal with trauma from their one-day Survivor Sequester games, because I always respond by being like, yeah, now add $1 million at a national audience reminding you. And I don't know how to empathize with the trauma of the one-day game.
To be fair, Hannah, my real trauma comes from when Big Brother Canada was like, hey, you're going to vote someone into the house, and we're going to portray this woman and call her the literal devil. And then Canada didn't vote me in. And then I was left on a stage in front of the whole country being like, you're not going in at all. So that's where my trauma comes from.
Oh, my goodness. I would like to apologize because I didn't know this. And there's a lot of research I want to do.
No, don't do any research.
If fans send me their one-day Survivor trauma, I know they're trying to relate, and I respect that. I just always
the fact that you were out there for the full 39 days, we didn't get to see the full story of what happened. We got to see an edited version, and unless someone was actually in your specific situation, they can never fully relate to what you went through. And like, sure, you can be traumatized by all kinds of things, and like, just because your trauma is different doesn't mean that theirs isn't like real and valid, but they could like not bother you with it.
No, I think I think I'm the jerk, I would say, because I think when people are really trying to relate, it's like when I'm like, this was a tough experience in a lot of ways. And so it's like, yeah, I can't even imagine like this one day thing. I still think about the votes. They're being kind and they're trying to empathize. And I'm like, but you don't get it. And I'm shutting my door and running to my room. So I'd like you to just let me own that I'm the jerk in this situation.
Yeah, Hannah, you're a real jerk. You're going to have to know Zap. Apologize for that.
I will.
Okay. Well, okay. I think on that note, I think we've come to the end. We had already come to the end. Like, it's already over. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm speaking for both of us when I say this was a lot of fun.
I'm speaking for both of us when I say it's a lot of fun. So,
Ryan, let's talk about this later. No, this is a blast. Thank you guys so much.
This
podcast may have been as well been called Chatty Women and Their Kind Co-Hosts.
I think that's what this podcast already is. We just normally don't have two guests.
I have to Google this thing now.
Oh, God, no, please. Literally, it's so embarrassing. So if people want to hear two of you talking more in like an actual professional good podcast, where could they find you?
Okay, first of all, can I say to you, if I was talking about my podcast the way you were, just like Justine said, what would you say to me? I'm rehearsing it.
Oh my God, you're right. I need to be nicer to myself.
Here you go.
But it's fine because we're actually the number one Love Island USA podcast.
Yes.
If they want to find us, we podcast about Parks and Rec and mostly just tell weird stories about our life. It's Pawnee Public Radio. You can also find us at Radio Pawnee. And then my individual handle is at Hannah Lil Nesson, and Will's is at Will Sondheim. Will, I didn't ask that.
That all checks out. Yeah, come find us.
So I've only watched Parks and Rec one time, but I want to go on your podcast.
I would watch more than one episode.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, I've seen almost all of the episodes, but I've only watched it through one time.
Almost.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw the end because it was taken off of Canadian Netflix. I have to find it.
It's all good.
Someone, As someone who is currently on your Love Island podcast, you are more than qualified for our podcast.
Hell yeah.
You are overly qualified.
Oh, incredible.
I do love the dynamic of four people on a podcast. I think we should add more and more people. I think we should have 10 podcasters on.
Yeah, but
podcast.
Like, Hannah, think back to when we did Renappywood Squares and there was 11 people on the podcast.
That was especially fun because I was like with family, friends, and my family. And like, my family did not understand what was happening as I recorded
it. I don't think any of us understood what was happening. I was hosting it and I didn't know what was happening.
I like the idea of a 10-person podcast, but it's the women are chatty and the men are kind. That's the only requirement.
It's 10 of us, 5 men, 5 women. The women will talk and the men will be quiet.
We laugh.
Studio audience.
There you go.
Johnny would not be a fan of that podcast.
Well, I mean, he might like it, but he would not find it funny.
No. Pawnee Public Radio, thanks for having us on.
Pawnee Public Radio is super fun. Scally, if people want to actually get to hear from you when I'm not talking over you, where can they find you?
I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
And the challenge is coming back, so check him out on the Dom and Colin podcast.
There you go.
If you want a podcast with men talking.
This was genuinely so much fun. Like, I know that only a couple of you sent in questions, but I was really excited to hear from you.
We only had one episode to talk about, so I think that was the deciding factor there.
I think, like, for a while, like, we did get, like, more questions for this one than we did for, like, the one episode we talked about on Thursday night. So, like,
there you go.
People were excited. If people want to hear more from me, they can follow me on every platform at Kirsten Said What, twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. I'm going to be starting to stream Among Us, and it's really fun.
Wait, that's a game, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I became a part of a game night cult and they just learned that. Sorry.
A game night cult.
Yeah. For another podcast.
I want to watch the HBO documentary about that. As well.
About my game night cult. I was on being filmed the whole time. I feel
exactly. The other thing too is please rate and review us on iTunes at rabbitswebsite.com/loveislandpod. We're almost to 100 ratings and we just like really want that for us so that we can overtake the ITV podcast.
Take them down.
There we go.
Take them down. As well, thank you to Hannah Wolf for joining us. Thank you to Will from America for writing our theme song. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for putting this podcast together. And thank you to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast.
Please vote.
And yeah,
election.
Vote.
And this was really fun and a great distraction from the world. But the world is still scary and everyone should vote. You can go to vote.org. And register. You're not allowed to, if you vote for Love Island, but not in the election, if you're a United States citizen, then I rate you 1 star. But if you vote in the election, I rate you 5 stars.
I wish I could vote in the election. Okay. So that's.
But if you can't vote in our election, I rate you 5 stars because I know it's not your fault.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, I think that's a great note to end on. Everybody vote. We'll be back later this week with more Love Island, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just...